Welcome to the best of breakfast with Vossie and Brandy. It's a big morning after the conclusion of the Commonwealth Games and Australia has finished top of the medal tally. Plus, is Isaiah Papali'i going to make a decision soon on where he'll be playing in 2023 after revealing he was unsure about his move to the Tigers even after signing a contract? That and the latest on Ricky Stewart. And it was a very sad morning as we paid tribute to Olivia Newton-John after she passed away at the age of 73. As I say, good morning to Brandy. The Commonwealth Games are done and dusted and a little more gold overnight. The Kookaburras winning gold, that is seven times in a row at the Commonwealth Games. Nice way to finish.
It is, Fossey. I very successful games for the Australians, getting over the top of the host nation, England. And we ended up beating the English by 10 gold medals. So 67 gold medals we ended up getting. Not quite as successful as the Gold Coast, where we won 80 gold medals, but 178 medals in total. And you'd have to say, even though the time difference was not ideal, it was an enjoyable Commonwealth Games. I enjoyed it.
It certainly was.
As we always do. We always
love the backstories.
We always knock the Commonwealth Games prior to it happening, but once it's underway, we go, this is fantastic.
You've got to love sport. Now, look, on the program today, and obviously the topics we were talking about yesterday are still relevant today, and we will continue discussion on that, and Ricky Stewart's central to a lot of that. You can have your say on that. Now, Lee Hadjipantelis from Brighton's Lawyers and Chair of the West Tigers will be on the program today. Michael Carayannis from the Daily Telegraph with all the big back page stories. Michelle Bishop with her sports updates. But some very sad news to wake up to this morning. Dame Olivia Newton-John has passed away peacefully at her ranch in Southern California this morning, aged 73. This was posted on the Instagram account of Olivia Newton-John by her husband. She was surrounded by family and friends, and it was noted on the post, "We ask that everyone please respect the family's privacy during this very difficult time. Olivia has been a symbol of triumph and hope for over 30 years, sharing her journey with breast cancer. Her healing inspiration and pioneering experience with plant medicine continues with the Olivia Newton-John Foundation Fund, dedicated to researching plant medicine and cancer. In lieu of flowers, the family asks that any donations be made in her memory to the ONJ Foundation." So that's at ONJ Foundation. But very sad news. Olivia Newton-John, fair to say, icon, passing away at age 73, and only appropriate that through the show this morning we filter through some of the best of Olivia Newton-John.
Yeah, it is sad, Vossie, that's for sure. Look, my mum was a big Olivia Newton-John fan. I grew up listening to Olivia Newton-John back in the 70s. I thought Olivia's songs were pretty catchy and they stayed with me all these years. I don't mind hearing an Olivia Newton-John song every now and then. It reminds me of my mum, so... very sad. Yeah, very
nice.
Sad.
Well, Greece is the one. I mean, all the
Greece,
songs with John
Greece
Travolta.
Is the
I mean, that's...
Yep.
When you say iconic, I mean, that is it. I mean, will never be forgotten. And you sing along and your feet
do you remember
tapping
when,
and all the rest. So,
what year did Greece come out?
Well, late 70s. Remember? Wouldn't have been. Would have been late 70s. I'd have to check that, Brandy. It stands the test of time. And the songs that were there were just fantastic. And it was the voice of Olivia Newton-John. So... little burst of Xanadu to get us underway. Smiling, Olivia Newton-John. So very, very sad news this morning that you wake up to find out that Olivia Newton-John has passed away, age 73. Wrapping up Commonwealth Games, the other medals overnight, silver and bronze medals overnight in the diving and the table tennis, and the flag bearer for the closing ceremony was a guest on our program just over a week ago, Melissa Wu, who won gold in the sink diving as well. So confirming what Brandy said about the final medal tally, thanks to Host Plus, an industry super fun for all Australians, Australia beating England on home soil to claim top spot, 67 gold, 57 silver, 54 bronze, a total of 178 medals. England came in second with 57 gold, 66 silver, 53 bronze for a total of 176. And Canada third with 26 gold, 32 silver, 34 bronze, total of 92 medals. That's thanks to Host Plus, an industry super fund for all Australians, run only to benefit its members. Search Compare Host Plus today. Now, NRL. Yeah, Brandy.
Yeah, just on the Commonwealth Games before we get off them, Vossi, and I don't know what the leadership group discussed this morning about the Commonwealth Games, but I'm just going to throw one at us, and just for our listeners too. Mm. Out of those 67 gold medals, your favourite, your best moment of the Commonwealth Games.
We actually discussed that. That was the first thing we discussed, Brandy. That was the topic. Am I the one that missed out on it?
Right.
Well, quite obviously, that was the first thing we discussed. Gary of Newtown was the one who proposed that at the time, and the Greenkeeper and Rooster said, "I second the motion." You missed that.
I concur with whatever you blokes come up with. So
your favourite gold medal from the Commonwealth Games? 1300 01 1170. Text 0457. 736-736, as we encouraged a week ago. If you know any of the backstory of some of these competitors, the lesser lights, we all know the Emma McKeon and what have we, but some of the lesser lights who picked up gold medals and, you know, members of the hockey team that you may know that's part of your junior club, by all means, come on here and wax lyrical about what they've achieved representing their country. Now, on Ricky Stewart, we understand the NRL is set to announce a one-week suspension and a $20,000 fine for Stewart following his, quote, weak gutted dog comments. He was interviewed by the Integrity Unit yesterday. It's been reported that some of the evidence won't be included in the final report, such as the personal nature of it. Canberra did finally issue a statement yesterday saying the club doesn't condone the comments made by Ricky and that they would continue to support him both professionally and personally. And that's 100%, I support that. That's what I thought Canberra should have said right from the start. While we support Ricky, we distance ourselves from the comments. We are a rugby league club. This is what we stand for. So whatever issue Ricky has with Jamin Salmon, that had to be discussed elsewhere, not an NRL media conference. Canberra CEO Don Furner says the club will cop any sanctions the NRL hands down, but won't go over and above the NRL's punishment. So the employer of Ricky Stewart won't be adding to the punishments of the NRL. You may have an opinion on that, Brandy. I don't know whether there's too much more to add to it.
Is the
ban appropriate? I struggled with it because we've never been there before. This is such
unusual territory. Bossy.
Yeah.
It is unusual territory. And obviously, whatever you know, and I don't know the reasons. I don't know the backstory of the what happened 10 years ago. I don't know any of it. There seems to be a lot of people in the media that do know what happened 10 years ago. And obviously, I think from the penalty, obviously the Integrity Unit have taken that into account too.
Well, it's an offensive.
I don't know what the penalty. I don't know whether the penalty is a fair penalty or not. I'm not sure whether they needed to go harder or certainly not less.
It couldn't be just a fine. There's not a monetary value that equates to what happened here. That's just my opinion, but in this situation, look, I have heard what's filtered through from other media sections around it, and it has been written in some commentary today that Ricky was defending his family, but my counter to that is, what danger was the Stewart family in from Jamin Salmon, 22, 23-year-old footballer on Saturday night? I mean, really, it's an offensive time and place by Ricky. I just don't think representing the Canberra club and representing the game at a post-match media conference. I mean, I can't imagine we're ever going to go there across this ground again.
The fact that we got there, we
had to come up with something.
So if we go back to the start and what you originally thought, you originally thought of Ricky Stewart's comments, if you just look at them in isolation and go, well, why would you say that now, here, at a press conference, when there's hundreds of thousands of people watching on Fox Sports, why would you say that now? Why would you bring it up now?
Yes. Well, it's a question for Lee Hadjipantelis later about defamation, what have you, there on Jamin Salmon, whether it wants to go any further. As I said, there's been all sorts of things. I mean, I just think that it's a unique situation and a fine would not suffice. And I'll stand by what I said yesterday. And if Ricky, if the league had to come down and said, well, Ricky, you know, the fact that there is four matches to go, or Canberra, as his employer said, with four matches to go, we support you, but then I would have been fine with that. But yeah, I don't know whether there's any more we can say about the actual act, because
I think
it's been out said. There. We've sort of exhausted everything.
It's been said. Yep.
So, but by all means, have you say 1300 01 1170, text 0457 736 736. Do you agree with that reported punishment, which would be 1 week suspension and a $20,000 fine? Now, Isaiah Papali'i, Brandy, what do you do here?
Oh, what do you do?
This is
really,
just
it's ridiculous. It's a joke. So he was interviewed on Channel 9 last night saying that he's still not sure whether he will take up the offer or whether he's taken up the offer. He signed a contract.
Mm.
What? Why does he now sit back and go, oh, hang on, I'm not sure if I'm going to go to the Tigers now. Like, when will he inform the Tigers that he actually is going there? Because they've got a roster to sort out. They've got a lot of money invested in Isaiah Papali'i. It's outrageous that he is still sitting on the fence wondering, hang on, I still might stay at the Eels.
The listeners may not have seen this on Channel 9 News last night, so we'll run the grab of Isaiah Papali'i refusing to confirm that he will honour his Tigers contract. Have a listen.
Kind of for my manager to look after, and even if I don't stay here or I do go next year, I want to make sure that this year has no regrets. I think it was the coaching action that went on, and when I went and did sign, it was talking to Madge, and he's an awesome coach. I kind of rattled the cage a bit, and I guess you had to have those conversations, and I guess that was a massive factor for me. I reckon somewhere in the off-season, because let this distract me at the moment, because we have a massive opportunity and I don't want to left any stone unturned.
He reckons somewhere in the off-season he might make his mind up. I know contracts don't mean the same as what they used to.
That's right. Yeah.
But you can't just... You can't sit on your hands after you've signed a deal and you're still dragging that club along as to whether you're going to turn up next year or not. And you're so busy...
You're dragging Parramatta along. Well, Parramatta have no right to be... I mean, what if Parramatta come back and say, well, actually, we've actually spent our salary cap? How's that going to work? Like, Parramatta will have spent their money, won't they? They're surely not leaving a spot for a $500,000 a year player. Would they? No, that couldn't happen. What if Parramatta? Okay, let's jump the shark here. Let's go to the off season, and he says, "Oh, I want to stay an Eel." And Parramatta says, "Oh, sorry, we've signed. You know, we've got no spot. We can fit you in at 200." Yeah, how's that going to work? How's that going to play out?
That won't happen. That won't happen, because the Eels would know. The Eels are obviously in dialogue with Isaiah, saying, "Look, we've still got enough money now." They are short back rows. They've had players leave the club, so they'd have money to spend on Isaiah. So it's not putting the Eels out. It's putting the Tigers out massively.
Well, there's no issue here about travel or moving into state. I mean, it's a dead set 10-minute drive between the two training venues. I will make this statement without knowing. Lee will come on later and just confirm if there was a little out there in the contract for Isaiah. But if there isn't. Then if he turns his back on the Tigers have put their foot down and you can't play next year.
Yeah.
That's what I'd do. I'd stand my ground and just say, no. Look, I don't know how that would work re their salary cap, but you can't be walked over like this.
Well, you can't just... And you can't just say, oh, well, now the coach is not there. Madge, great coach. I'm having doubts about going across. That doesn't matter.
If the Tigers are in the eight, he's going. He would have confirmed it last night on the news. That's what I'm thinking.
Of course he would.
Obviously. Yeah. But now the Tigers could be wooden spooners. So there you have that one. Have you said that? Do you play hardball? You don't have to be a Tigers fan to have you say on this issue. How do you see it? Come on the open line and have your say. Now, the Tigers have opted not to pursue legal action against the NRL over their loss to the Cowboys a fortnight ago. The NRL yesterday issued a statement ruling out reversing the result, but saying it would conduct an end-of-season review of the captain's challenge rule. End of season review. They could do that the same week as Isaiah Papali'i makes up his mind what he's doing. We could have a transfer window week where we almost Festivus. You know, we just air our grievances and we reach resolution on all these issues 1 week in the off-season.
And Isaiah's still making up his mind.
That's it, yes, but he has until the Friday. Graeme Annesley, his Monday morning show, says Tarek Sims should have been sent off for the high tackle that knocked Connor Tracy out on Saturday night.
Okay.
I disagree. I disagree.
So do
I don't have send-off. So why did Graeme Annesley
feel I didn't have send-off either.
And when he says he should have been sent off, so but we never get the explanation, so why wasn't he then? Why did the bunker review it? And they look at the same thing, the match review committee, but the bunker don't see it as a send-off offence, but the match review committee. It's the same problem. I'm just going again. Hello? We've been dealing with the same thing. What's the saying? A dog goes back to its own vomit. I mean, we go back to this all the time. They are applying different sets of rules, Graeme. Can you explain why the match review committee have a different set of rules to the bunker in the game?
I saw that happen yesterday. Dog going back to its own vomit.
Yeah, well, that's right. Yeah, well, that's true. Sound of it again. Hello? Graeme, it's the issue.
I was happy with the 10 minutes.
Yeah, that's right.
With the 10
minutes. That's right.
It wasn't an outrageous, high swinging shot.
No.
He
parallel to body.
Stuck down there. The low tackler, Andrew McCulloch, meant that he couldn't really get himself involved in the tackle. All of a sudden, low tackle, he's standing there. He stands his ground, keeps his arm down by his side. Does lean into the tackle. There's impact. There's no doubt. But it's not. I don't think it was a send-off.
Have your say on that one here this morning. 1300 01 1170. Text 0457 736 736. And just one last one to throw in the mix. Ben Horn writing in the Telegraph today about Talia McGrath. Could that happen this summer? Could we reach a stage where cricketers Talia McGrath plays with COVID yesterday? Could we have that over the summer? You know, like
rather than.
Up, massive upheaval, test positive on the morning of a test match and still play.
Yeah, but we've
under protocols.
We could. We've been talking about that in rugby league as well. Like, why can't we just...
Well, cricket's a little different. You can keep your distance if that's what you must do.
Yes, you can.
So
you've got to wipe the ball down every... You've got to wipe the ball down because Talia McGrath bowled.
Mm.
So every time she bowled the ball, the umpire had to clean it, wipe it. But what happens... But after...
She couldn't get a catch off a bowling. Is that what you mean? So you had to, she either had to get bowled or leg before wicket or run out.
Because no one was allowed to touch the ball.
No one's allowed to catch the ball.
You're listening to the best of Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy. Michelle Bishop joined us for the latest in sport. And the big news is we've finally made it into one of Graeme Annesley's Monday press conferences.
And now on Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy, a sports update with Michelle Bishop.
Morning, Michelle.
Morning, Brandy. Morning, Bossy.
Ricky's punishment. What's it? Will we know it today?
Yeah, we will know it today. It's not official yet. We talk about leaks at the West Tigers. The NRL doesn't do a bad job either. It's out there that it's around 20 grand. He'll cop that fine and then be suspended for a game. Guys, I'm pretty familiar with the backstory. It's no secret. I know Ricky Stewart personally, and I know how passionate he is. And look, he is a dad first, very protective of his kids. He did get this wrong. Wrong platform, wrong time. You know, he let his emotions sort of get away with him. You can't sugarcoat any of that. And I think, though, that we'd all be pretty naive to think there isn't more to this. It's not just about an incident that happened years ago with a couple of kids. It goes a lot deeper. But Ricky's chosen not to go into detail with that. And unfortunately, what comes with that will be the fact that everybody sort of, you know, has an opinion and thinks the way they're going to think. So he's going to have to suck it up, cop the 20 grand if it's 20 grand, and obviously the suspension, which is, you know, it's going to really hurt the Canberra Raiders. They're desperate to win every game, I suppose, between now and the end of the season to be there at the business end. So that's my thoughts on the situation at the Canberra Raiders at the moment.
Mm. Does it get just on the coach's suspension, because it's not something that happens that often, is it? We get a coach being suspended. Does that mean he does not go near the place for the week, or what?
Well, these are the details that obviously the NRL is going to have to release today. That's what happens when there's leaks. You just get little dribs and drabs of what the situation is. So we expect to hear the NRL to come out and, you know, whether he'll even be allowed to attend the game. Obviously, it won't be, you'd expect, not in and around the coach's box, the sideline, or anywhere near the footy. He'll have to be a spectator. And knowing Ricky, that'd kill him. So he's probably better off sitting at home in the lounge room.
We have it in junior rugby league, don't we? Where coaches can get suspended if they say something, they then get removed from. Can they? I think they can turn up at the ground, but have no physical contact with the team. Anyway, that's another issue. Now, this is big. This show got a mention at Graham Annesley's weekly briefing yesterday, Shell.
Yeah, absolutely. Brandy, nobody could accuse you whatsoever of sitting on the fence with a hip drop tackle and where it originated from. And our own Cameron Smith, he had his views as well, very vocal. But the man who should have known more about the hip drop tackle, of course, is Graham Annesley. And at yesterday's regular briefing, SEN's Alyssa Apps asked Graham where he stood with the game's most controversial tackle and is the Storm to blame. Let's have a listen.
Cameron Smith and Brandy Alexander have been at a bit of loggerheads about the tackles that we've seen coming into the game have come through the Melbourne Storm. Do you see more of the Melbourne Storm than any other decision?
You know, people are entitled to their own opinions. All I can tell you is that we deal with incidents, not teams. The charges that are laid, the incidents that are reviewed, are across all teams. There's not a match that goes by where incidents aren't reviewed. Doesn't mean that there'll always be charges. But the colour of jerseys and the teams involved plays no part whatsoever in whether a player is determined to have breached our rules or not.
The second bit was boring, but the first bit was very good. Very good, the first bit.
Wishy-washy. Jalissa had the guts to ask the question, and it was,
I'm going to put Jalissa on the payroll of the breakfast program that every week she throws a bit of something out of there. Gary of Newtown said this morning that there was about on SEN, you know, she could bring something into Annesley's report every week. Could work.
Could work.
And Australia's final gold at Birmingham was the hockey gold medal. We are a champion team. Talk about emphatic. The definition of an emphatic game, the result.
Absolute showstopper for the last gold medal. 7-0 over India, Australia's seventh straight games gold. So for the seventh time from the seventh attempt, the Kookaburras have been named the men's champions. And this time around, guys, they were completely dominant. It was basically all over at halftime. Possibly, we could even have said 15 minutes before that, they had it all wrapped up. It was one of the most one-sided affairs in games history. And they even had a late goal denied controversially, which would have seen them match an 8-0 demolition of India in Delhi 12 years ago. So 67 gold overall, and that medal was the 1,001st at the games in games history. Fantastic.
Great that's stuff, Michelle.
First report. Yeah, it's a very good first report, Michelle. You've got to be happy with that.
Great.
Thanks, guys.
See you
now. See you soon.
That's it. Now, look, the stacks of text. I don't know how we're going to get through all these this morning. It's just lit up again this morning. This one from Joshua with four rounds to go. Should Canberra just send Ricky to Bali to let him cool down after the awful season Canberra have had? Well, they haven't had an awful season. They can still make the finals.
Yeah,
Joshua, have a look at the draw.
Well, they can. Dragons, Newcastle, Manly, Tigers. So That's all those sides sitting below them. That would get, if they can win four games, that gets them to 30 points, Vossie. And, gee, the South Broncos and Roosters runs home are much tougher than what the Raiders are facing. So, yeah, they are still in it.
Yeah, and this one sounds like Brandy is worried Parramatta are going to keep spanking the Panthers if Papalihi stays. Hey? Hashtag breaking tackles, again. Breaking contracts. Insert Bozza laughs.
No, got nothing to do with it.
People are picking you, aren't they? They got you now. They've got you.
Vossi, my local RSL has a virtual rule at will, so let's dial that into the bunker. Saves the cost.
the roulette, that'd be good. Gamble
Ashley, spin that wheel, brother. Spin the wheel.
You're listening to The Best of Breakfast with Vossi and Brandy. Michael Carayannis from the Daily Telegraph joined us to give us the latest NRL headlines and a response to all of his fans, plural, from his appearance on NRL 360 last night.
And now on Breakfast with Vossi and Brandy, the back page with Michael Carayannis.
Good morning, Michael.
I thought it was Joke of the Day. I thought that might have been Joke of the Day.
You've been brushed from Joke of the Day, Michael. I'm sorry. You have been the intro for Joke of the Day for well over a year, and you were this morning replaced by this.
That's
a bit more aggressive.
That's frightening, isn't it? That is scary. Michael, you know it's brutal here. Everyone cops a bashing, but you've been getting some raps. kudos to Michael Carayannis for standing his ground last night on NRL 360. Well done to you.
Is it true you've got the knives out for Braith and Kenty, that behind the scenes you're speaking to Steve Crawley and that saying, oh, I think I should host the show, maybe? You know, is that true, Michael? That's television.
No, it's not true. But, no, it was a bit of fun last night. Yeah, you got to enjoy. You got a bit of banter amongst the boys. It's all in good nature. So, no, it's interesting. I'm sure, well, Brandy, you've sat in that hot seat before, and it's a different dynamic when you're sitting there. You don't, like, I'm not usually a yeller or a ranter, but it just brings it out in you sometimes when you're sitting on that show.
I actually had it on last night, and my wife from another room said, "Who's shouting?" And I said, "Don't worry, it's just Michael Carayannis."
Was it that bad? Was it?
No, it wasn't. No, just. Now,
just confirming that Brandy Elliott has one wife too. He doesn't have separate wives in different rooms. I just want to confirm that. There's just one wife in one room. Just confirming that right now.
Michael, fatherhood. Congratulations.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Thank you, fellas. Yes, thank you. Thank you. Little Eleanor was born late on Sunday night. Clara, my wife, did amazingly well, superhuman effort. It's remarkable. So I've just gone on a coffee run now, spent the night. Last couple of nights in hospital, but all is going well.
Right, okay. So was the baby born, if you don't, I'm going to pry a little bit here, baby born after the round was complete, or was it, were you in the birthing suite as, like, the big game between the Knights and the Tigers was on?
Well, I'm not sure if I'll say it. Well, my wife allowed me to watch the 2 o'clock, stream the 2 o'clock game, watch the 4 o'clock game. She wasn't in any drama at that stage, but we were in the birthing, in the delivery suite waiting to go, so I did get a full round of footy, and most importantly, Vossie.
Yeah, because I don't think Eleanor, she's already shown herself to be a very smart young girl. She was in no hurry to get out and see the second half of Knights Tigers.
It was
a bludger. Exactly. So well done. And so sleep fine, no dramas with you, Michael. Just, you know, obviously mum's the most important, the little girl's the most important. But you, Michael, you're okay? You're fine?
I'm okay, mate. Yes, I'm fine. I'm fine. Particularly after what I witnessed on Sunday night, I don't think I've got any grounds to complain ever again.
Two topics this morning. Ricky Stewart and Isaiah Papali'i. Let's start with Isaiah. Like, where he's going to get to it in the off season. Like, he make up his mind. Like, that's not good enough.
There's no doubt he's got some reservations about joining the West Tigers. He's spoken to the club, he's met with the club and informed them that basically when he agreed in, what, last November, December, that, you know, Michael Maguire was the coach, you know, they were going to recruit a few more players and things haven't eventuated like that. But, I think he ends up at the West Tigers. I don't think there's any scope, but they've got no appetite to let him go. So I think he will be there, but he's just got to get his head around it. Because if you're a West Tigers fan, you're not overjoyed by some of the things that Isaiah's saying at the moment.
No, not at all. No, neither the West Tigers. And we just, like, Luke Garner, Tuolungi, Leilua, all their back rowers this year, they're out. They're gone.
You were saying earlier, tougher. Michael, does the RLPA have right to speak up on anything? Like, do they just don't... Do you guys as journos think to go to the RLPA for a quote, or they don't stand for anything, or they...
They were a little bit of a toothless tiger a couple of years ago, but they have developed to be a formidable organisation, and, you know, Clint Newton's always accessible if you wanted to speak to him in terms of off the record, on the record, trying to get some background on some of the issues that the players may be facing. So did you, like, in this instance, Vossi,
I'll give you three. I'll give you a hip drop. Like, when you got an immortal of the game, Joey John, saying the next person who does a hip drop should do 12 months. Matty Johns on this program yesterday saying, sign for the RLPA to speak up about the welfare of the players and get that. It has to be player-driven that this tackle is eradicated from the game. Secondly, what was said about Jamin Salmon, regardless of the background of the story, you know, from 10 years earlier, are they defending their members that this shouldn't go on? Then this thing with a player, you know, saying, I'll make my mind up in the off-season, having signed a contract. Shouldn't they have a stance on these things?
Yeah, definitely. The last part would be very interesting because obviously they're there to support the player. Where they would stand on a player that I'm not talking specifically about Isaiah, but where would they stand about a player that wants to break his contract or his deal would be an interesting test case for them because they are there to represent the player. So I'm not sure exactly how they'd stand on that instance, but things like the hip drop, and I'm sure they probably would have reached out to Jamin Salmon and offered him some support this week, but you're right, the hip drop would be interesting and you know, it's definitely some concern for player safety and player welfare, and that should be at the forefront of the RLPA's mind.
Mm. Now, Graham Annesley said Tarek Sims should have been sent off. Does that mean the referee gets sacked? Whoever, I did that game. Who controlled it? I can't
Ashley,
even remember.
Ashley Cloran was the referee.
Ashley was.
But in that instance,
he was freshened up. He was freshened up from a spell too. He should have been right on point there. Would have thought.
No? But obviously, in that instance, it probably comes down to the bunker, right? Because the play was stopped for more than 5 minutes. I think when Connor Correct. Tracy was on the ground, so I'm not sure if responsibility would fall directly into Ashley Kleins' lap. In that instance, I can't remember who was actually in the bunker, but I think that's probably where the scrutiny should be.
Yeah, that's right. I didn't have a problem with the sin binning because of the situation of the tackle. Already someone in it. Sims just stood his ground. He had his arm down by his side. Contact was heavy, though. But there were some mitigating circumstances. I still think a send-off is... It's got to be there's got to be some intent there. I know we've sort of changed, the rules have changed and the binning and the send-off has changed and people view it differently as well. Michael?
The latest on Ricky Stewart. So Michelle's spoken this morning, we heard Buzz last night on 360, 1 week suspension. Now, if that is the case, what happens in terms of logistics with the team?
Yeah, that's what we have to find out next. Is it a one-week suspension where it's just game day that Ricky Stewart can't have any contact with the side, or is it from, you know, if it's laid down today, from today until they play the Dragons on the weekend, is that how it's going to work? And that's going to be the interesting thing. You know, we've seen coaches coach remotely from COVID, but, you know, I'm assuming there's not going to be any form of communication allowed between Ricky Stewart and the Raiders coaching staff. They've got Andrew McFadden on that staff, Brett White, Mick Crawley. Obviously, Andrew McFadden has taken he's run the Warriors and coached the Warriors a few years back. So, you know, he and Brett White's been a long-term assistant. Mick Crawley's been in and around the game for a long time as well. So they've got handy assistants. I don't think it's going to rule them too much because, you know, they're well deep into the season. But it's going to be interesting to see exactly what the remits are for Ricky Stewart. If he is suspended for that week, how exactly it's going to work. I'd imagine that he'd have to be banished from the week until, you know, the full-time siren after the match against the Dragons on the weekend.
Yeah, there's been plenty of clubs that have gone through it this year with their coaches not banned, but that have been forced to stay at home because of COVID. You know, clubs will get on with it. And you're right, Michael, it's deep into the season. The players know what's required. They've got good senior players there. Papali'i, Jackie Whiten. They'll be able to keep the team together for the big game against the Dragons, no doubt.
Yep. All right, Michael, we've probably kept you away from things a little too much. So what's on the cards today with Eleanor and Mrs. Carriotis?
No, not much. I don't know. Bit of feeding, bit of burping, bit of sleeping, bit of crying, bit of nappy changing. What else is there?
run this one past Mrs. Carriotis today. Just say, look, I've just been thinking, like, you know, I'm speaking to fellow parents, Brandy and Vossi, they've been there, done that. It's never too early to plan. We probably should talk schools, maybe sports bet account, those sorts of things, you know, perhaps, no? Something? Share portfolio?
My parents have already lobbed up with a few Dragons paraphernalia, so she's already got that sorted. So another long-suffering Dragons fan on the way.
Wow, that's cruel.
That's okay.
Good end. Michael, have a great day, and congratulations to the entire Carriotis clan, and mate, just keep sticking those knives in the back of your co-hosts on NRL 360, and you'll have your own show one day. That's how television works.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Well done, Michael. You're listening to The Best of Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy. Lee Hadjipantelis from Brighton's Lawyers spoke with us to update us on the Isaiah Papali'i contract saga, the Tigers dropping their pursuit of getting the 2 points against the Cowboys, and had some great news for me as well.
Sport and the Law on Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy. For Bryden's Lawyers, let our team of professionals help with your legal matter.
Morning, Lee.
Morning, Greg. Morning, Andrew. Always a pleasure to be with you both.
Yeah, great to have you on. Now, Isaiah Papali'i has come out with some statements. I've got no doubt that you heard them last night. Let's just have a listen.
Kind of for my manager to look after, and even if I don't stay here or I do go next year, I want to make sure that this year has no regrets. I think it was the coaching action that went on, and when I went and did sign, it was talking to Madge, and he's an awesome coach. I kind of rattled the cage a bit, and I guess you had to have those conversations, and I guess that was a massive factor for me. I reckon somewhere in the off season, because let this distract me at the moment, because we have a massive opportunity and I don't want to left any stone unturned.
Now, as the Tigers chairman, I've got no doubt that your phone ran hot last night after that interview. What's your reply to that?
Well, it did run hot last night and this morning. I've spoken with our CEO, and I don't want to speculate in a public forum exactly as to what Isaiah was intending to convey by those remarks. So we'll seek clarification today from his manager, but I don't put a lot of stock into it. I think what he was trying to say, I think if I read him correctly, is that he wants to focus on this year with Parramatta, which is fair enough. I would expect nothing different. But it's well known that we enjoy a contractual relationship with Isaiah, and we very much look forward to welcoming him to the club in 2023.
Well, you'd like an answer from him, but like a little sooner than the off-season.
I expect there'll be phone calls made this morning for clarification, just to provide an opportunity for Isaiah and his manager to provide a little bit more depth to those comments last night. And as I say, but we're very comfortable where we sit. Isaiah has contracted with the West Tigers for 3 years, commencing 1 November. And as I say, we look forward to seeing him.
Now, we'll have to probe just a little further on behalf of Tigers fans, and they're stacked up on their decks, and others saying, look at the Roosters, Nick Politis gave Latrell Mitchell 7 days, whatever. If you got a Dorothy Dix answer from his manager today, have you thought about a deadline? Like saying, well, we do need to know. We do. You can't just be ducking and weaving here. I'm afraid, Lee, I don't cop the it's a distraction. That's not fair. He not fair to anyone here. He can find a day during his week on, maybe on his day off. He can sit down and understand there was a contract signed. Am I going to honour it or not? I'm sorry, I'm getting hard here, and I'm probably maybe speaking on behalf of a lot of Tigers fans here.
No, I don't necessarily disagree. But as I say, I don't put a lot of stock into what he was saying so far as it being anti-West Tigers or anti-contractual obligations. I think he may have been speculating as such about where his mindset is at the moment so far as he's commitment to the rest of this year is with Parramatta. But as I say, if he wanted to say more, I'm sure he will, either himself directly or through his manager, and we'll deal with it. But at the moment, though, I don't want to read into his comments. I don't want to create any angst, of course, between the club and the player. So I'll try and put the most positive spin on it and just say that he's focused on the rest of this year. But as I say, we have a contract. It's in black and white. It's been signed by both parties, and we're very comfortable where we sit.
Okay, the Tigers 2 points against the Cowboys, they're gone, but now they're officially gone. No legal action?
That's correct, Greg. We went and met with the representatives of the NRL last week. It was a very robust discussion. All of the source material that we had requested was available. We satisfied ourselves, firstly, that the bunker did not intervene so as to tip the referee off as to the obstruction. We were very concerned about that, of course. And then there was a detailed analysis or debate about the interpretation of the rules. And we went through the local and the international rules. It has to be conceded that the rules are ambiguous, that there was merit in the NRL's position. But again, the NRL conceded as well that there was merit in our position. So I spent the rest of Thursday, Friday, and most of the weekend formulating a response to the board in terms of my legal advice. That point of view was endorsed by senior counsel, that the litigation itself would be very speculative. I'm not in a position to recommend to the West Tigers to throw good money after bad. So we just decided that we would not take it any further. I know that that is a bitter disappointment to many of our fans and members, and I regret that. I can assure them that up until late Friday, Saturday, there was still a view at board level to litigate. and we were prepared to do so. But as I say, when you've got to take on board the advice that you receive, and then you've got to act accordingly. And it wasn't in the interest of the club to engage in speculative litigation, but there is a moral victory in that there has been a concession that the rules need review, and that'll be undertaken at the end of the year.
All right, Lee. Now, I'm going to move you on to another topic. I'm acting as junior counsel for Mr. Randy the Candyman, Brandy Alexander, who's been in the news lately and said a few things to Melbourne, and that upset the chairman at Melbourne and Cameron Smith and yada, yada, yada. So on it went. Could you have a look at, or listen, I understand you have examined what he actually said. Does he have a case to answer? Matt Tripp, the chairman of Melbourne, said it was almost defamatory, or may have said it was defamatory. I mean, was there anything wrong that Mr. Alexander did, the Candyman?
No, not at all. But I must congratulate Greg. It's phenomenal how he's created so much content for his own program. It's very well done.
No,
it's but no. No. The comments, in my view, are not defamatory whatsoever. There are a number of elements to defamation. You have to adequately identify the individual or the corporation. He's done that, of course. The comments were published, but were they defamatory? Even if they were, and I don't think they were, there are clear defences available to Greg. For example, justification, that is establishing that the statement was essentially true. But also, honest opinion is a defence to defamation. That is, whether the information was just an opinion, but an expression of fact, and the opinion is based on accurate sources. So I think, and Greg has done this, he's adequately, I think, explained his justification for those comments. So, I don't think he's got anything to concern himself with whatsoever.
Excellent. Well, Brandy, I'm going to put in an invoice. Brandy, you have to pay me now. $2,500 for seeking our advice.
I know you come cheap, Andrew, but Lee might cost me a bit. So
no, anyway. I think it's the other way around, actually.
Now, Lee. Yes. Lee. Ricky Stewart.
Well, is that defamation? What was said there? Yeah. Let's go serious now.
Well, my advice would be the polar opposite. What was said by Ricky, now removing all of the emotive components to this, the explanations and justifications that have sought to be made over the last 24 hours, the comments made by Ricky on Saturday night would tick every box in order to substantiate a defamation suit. I can't readily think of any defence that would be available. I know what's been put forward in the last 24 hours, but I can't envisage how. And if we accept what we know, and as I said, we don't know everything. All we know is what we've read in the paper. But if what's being reported is accurate, I cannot envisage how the actions of an 11-year-old could possibly justify defamatory comments some 10 years later. Now, that's as I say, a purely legal analysis of what we know. So if the young man did seek legal advice, I would suspect that he would receive the advice that I've just given.
Yeah, extraordinary situation. We're sort of, Brandy and I mean, we feel as if everything has been exhausted, and that's probably the only option that would take the story any further. If the league comes down today with they've got no, it's not like they've got a handbook to go to. There's precedence at all. There's nothing to liken this to, but a fine and a one-game ban, Lee. I mean, speaking on behalf of both legally, does that seem appropriate? Is there any way we can apply any sort of legal, I don't know, precedence to the league putting that sort of penalty on an action as Ricky did, in his words?
No, not at all. There's no legal precedent whatsoever. It's purely discretionary. And I think what the NRL have to do is find some balance between punishing the comments and sending a message, so that it doesn't occur again. And that's obviously the point of there being a punishment, to ensure that the offender doesn't re-offend, but also send a warning to others. It's a unique situation. I've never heard remarks such as those ever in the game that I've been following now for over 40 years. They were intensely personal. The league, as I say, has a challenge now to try and find the right balance in dealing with this matter. I don't envy them, of course. But what the young man chooses to do separate to that, of course, is a matter entirely for him. But as I say, if what's being reported today and yesterday concerning the actions or alleged actions of an 11-year-old, it will not provide any semblance of a defence to a defamation suit some 10 years later.
Okay. Leichhardt Oval. Now, I watched it again last night, the collapse of the stand at the northern end, wasn't it? It was It was so lucky that no one was injured, Lee.
In the year 2022, it is embarrassing to be having a conversation about the safety of our public venues for sporting fixtures. Very lucky that someone wasn't killed. I received a report on Saturday night, and then Sunday, our CEO Justin's reached out to the council to ensure that we're kept fully informed as to their investigations. Look, I appreciate, given the work that I do, I appreciate that there are certain latent defects that are not ordinarily visible on reasonable inspection, rusting of, you know, railings and the like. I get that. However, this facility is substandard. We've made that point during the week. This did not come as a surprise to us. I've complained bitterly about the state of the stairs, the stand itself, the toilets, etc. So I'm very concerned moving forward. So there'll be a full inspection of the stadium and the grounds before our next home game in a couple of weeks. But this is all part of a bigger picture, of course, dealing with the stadium policy and the funding of these fixtures. It deserves better.
We've covered some ground today. Mr. Haji Pantelis, Brighton's lawyers, your team is there, ready to take calls. Any legal advice people need, 1800 848 848. It can be conveyancing as well. All the services you've provided, check out the website, first of all, at Brighton's. But the number, best to keep handy in the phone, 1800 848 848. Good luck to you, Lee, to the Brighton's team and to the Tigers this weekend.
Thank you, gentlemen. Have a great day.
Good on you, Lee.
You're in the clear, Brandy. You're free as a bird, legally. And all ready for the Alexander Smith Cup on Thursday night when the Panthers play Melbourne 21 after 8.
Sport and the Law on Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy. For Brighton's lawyers, let our team of professionals help with your legal matter.
Vossie and Brandy here. Hope you enjoyed this podcast. Don't forget, you can listen live to the show every weekday morning from 6 till 9.
Tune in through 1170 AM in Sydney or anywhere in the world through the SEN app.